from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster today. I'm podcasting in shoes, well, technically sneakers, or technically trainers. I wonder if they have, is there a shoe called the technical? It like that you say, well, technically I'm in the techs. There are those shoes with lights. But this is a podcast that's like a comfortable shoe that you may, a shoe for bed. There's slippers, right? But there's not shoes for bed. This is more of a podcast intro than a setup because, you know, when I get off track, what I'm supposed to remind you is it's time for Sleep With Me, a podcast that puts you to sleep. Ian, if you're a regular listener, if you could listen through the credits, because these are the ways we keep the show a-going. All right, but Scoot's here, and this is where I talk about, like, just supporting the show. So this is really only for regular listeners. If you count on Sleep With Me or you use Sleep With Me on a regular basis, you're a long-term listener. Like, does Sleep With Me do anything unique for you, right? Is it a part of your life and it's a unique way? Like, when you just discovered the show or it started helping you, you're like, wow, I had no idea this existed, but I was looking for it. And then does it provide something for you? Is it unique and does it provide something? Does it do anything for you? Like, does it help you fall asleep or take your mind off of stuff so you could fall asleep? Or does it keep you company? Does it distract you during the day? So is it unique or somewhat unique? And does it do anything for you? If the answers are yes to the both of those, like, how much is that, is that worth anything to you? How much are those things, the unique part and whatever it does for you, worth to you? But the other question is, like, if Sleep With Me went away, like, what would you be willing, like, would that change what it's worth to you? Would it change the value proposition? To get it back, oh yeah, I'd pay $50 a month, and you don't even have a tier at that level. So just think about that. But if any of that resonates with you, don't wait. We really are in a position now where for at least a time, I'm going to have to kind of really work hard to get more people involved in supporting the show. We have the listeners. It's just getting the attention of enough listeners, a small percentage of people, but people that are said, oh, okay, I'll do it now. You just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and sign up, support the show. Even if you're not sure, sign up for, they're all the trials are 7 days, and then you could change your mind. But at least then you've done something. You said, yes, it's unique. Yes, it really means something to me. Yes, it does something for me. And no, I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want it to go away. So thanks. Think about that. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus.
Hey, everybody. I wanted to thank Joni with an I and her husband and Jonathan B., my good buddy, for supporting Quip and sharing with me online. Supporting the sponsors is a huge way of helping keep the show free for everybody. So I really appreciate it. Plus, they were all enjoying their Quips. You can find out about all our sponsors at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Mr. Bard, a lot of people work very, very hard on this show to keep it going. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies.
Got a new album out.
I think you'll really like it.
You can get a copy at
JonathanMann.net.
Also, I made a longer version
of this credits song.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Night Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Those are great places to get a hold of me. Also, if you have a smart speaker or someone in your life does, say, hey, smart speaker, play Sleep With Me podcast. It's an easy way to listen, even at work or in your car if you have that talking car. Also, if you have a talking car, you know, let me know about it. And, you know, that's cool. And I think that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time or temperature, clocks moving or ticking, the stuff you're thinking about is exterior stuff, situational things, feelings, sensations, whatever it is. I'd like to take your mind off of that. Like I said, I'm going to take a safe place. I'm going to pat it. I'm going to smooth it. I'm going to rub it down. I'll polish it. Smooth it. Did I say smooth it? I think I did. I'll say safe place. I'll do welcoming gestures. I'll walk backwards as I welcome you in. And I say, here you go. Safe place to set aside whatever's keeping you awake. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones and pointless meanders. And those are both, if you're new, things that may take some adjustment. Your first reaction is might be, what are these creaky dulcet tones? Or rusty meanders or pointless tangents? And I'd say, well, just give the show a few tries. That's what most people say. And you don't even have to give it a few tries. I'm just here to help. I'd like to help. Go ahead and get comfortable. Don't try to make a whole lot of sense of it. If you're new, I'll right up front walk you through structurally what to expect. The show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's more important to regular listeners. That's how we keep the show going and free. Then there's an intro. In the intro, we've just started. It's about 12 minutes of me rambling. It's a show within a show. Or an intro. It's an introduction to the podcast. It just takes 12 minutes. So it's really more of a part of, it's a structurally part of the podcast. And really, it's like when you start a car in the winter and you get it warmed up. I guess that really is what it is. But, I got to go outside and do the thing where it makes a noise for a while. And then I say, Scoots, take a breath. Luckily, I don't live in a winter zone anymore. Or have a car with a key, and they say, okay, come on, this time, warm it up, and then it gives, then I go inside and drink coffee, and they say, okay, now let me put the heater on, and go inside in the car. It's a double positive, like the inside of the car is getting warmed, but also the car is getting warmed, and if it was a talking car, it would say, warm it up, Chris, and I'd say, I'm about to. Actually, your name is Chris. My car's not name is Chris. This imaginary car's name is Chris. Nice, non-binary name for a vehicle. And I say, yeah, Chris, I'm warming it up. I'm not only about to, you're in the current thing of getting warmed up. So I'm going to go inside where it's warm and also drink coffee, which is also cold, ironically enough. I know it's strange, Chris, but I drink a cold brew coffee in the winter and the summer too. But I'm going to be inside. You want me to stay here while you warm up? No problem. Actually, strangest thing, maybe this is a new podcast, a car warmer podcast for cars and things interesting to cars. But I make a sleep podcast. This is what I was doing, Chris. I was explaining to the new listeners of the sleep podcast I make. That there's a long intro some listeners fall asleep during the intro. About 3% of listeners skip the intro. A lot of listeners use it as part of their wind down routine. Maybe they start it when they're brushing their teeth. Maybe they start it when they first get in bed, because no one's instantly asleep as they pull the covers up and, settle into their positions, set their temperature, do an embalming. Chris, this is the strangest thing, and I'm not sure if it's inside my mind or like the Phantom of the Opera, yeah. But no, not like that. I bomb the back of my neck in the winter. I don't know what it is. It dries out, or it feels like it's dried out. You're right, Chris. But yeah, so I do, what was I talking about? Oh, sorry to talk to new listeners. It's tough. I've got my attention divided between an imaginary sentient vehicle named Chris that's warming up and talking about the intro for the podcast, which is more of a cool down or a neutral down. And actually to say that this bed, I'm declaring your bedroom a safe place now, a neutral ground. Because for me, bedtime can be this thing that kind of has some seriousness or some, you know, you say, oh, so that's really why I make the show and why the intro so long is to warm it up and cool it down at the same time. You got that, Chris? No, Chris, I just want you warmed up, your engine, and want your, you know, your circulation to be good with the viscosity. And to get it nice and toasty in here, right around my toes. Oh, so nice. And you're really humming, but I know I can hear your engine still racing, so I'll give it some time. And you know, Chris, it's like the strangest thing, situational. I love the smell of your exhaust in these cool days. Yeah, you have the freshest breath. Oh, yeah, you're right. I will go in and rebrush my teeth. I did have about. Okay, but I mean, oh, so that's what the intro is. A show within a show. Where I misexplain what the podcast is while some people fall asleep and some people get ready to drift off. So that's the first part of the show. Then the second part of the show will be where I kind of talk about tonight. It'll be a Doctor Who, and it'll barely, it may vaguely resemble an episode of Doctor Who, but it'll be a lulling recap of it that really you see, that you could sleep to. Or if you can't sleep, I'll be there to keep you company. That's the other thing about the show. There's no pressure to listen, and there's no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for about an hour to keep you company. Or in this case, Chris, because I'm dividing my work, I'll be in the car till you're warmed up to a comfortable temperature and I can hear your engine purring. Yeah, the podcast is a bit like a metaphorical purring. You're right. Chris, wow, you could have your own sleep podcast if you weren't a vehicle and you weren't imaginary and you weren't trying to, wasn't trying to warm you up for this. So you're right. Get back to the, so that's the structure. So at the end is some thank yous between the intro and the story is some business, again, keeping the show going. So that's structurally what to expect. And again, yeah, I'm here to keep you company as you drift off. The reason why I make the show, as I said earlier, is I've been there tossing and turning, wondering, you know, the stuff that goes on when you can't sleep that other people might not be able to relate to. I know what it's like. I know how it feels. And I really, truly believe you do deserve a good night's sleep. Ideally free of the hassle and the rigmarole. But I know I don't really have a ton of power around that. What I do have the power to is to keep you company and to take your mind off stuff, to be your friend, your boar bud, your boar bra, your boar bay, your boar sib, your boar cuz, your boar bestie. To kind of sit here at your bedside or across the room and to talk to you gently and kind of goof around a little bit. Car's getting warm here. Chris is starting to purr. Usually, Chris, this is when, it, like, even my intimacy issues creep up in vehicles. So I'll start, it really looks like I'm absentmindedly touching your buttons and things, but it's more like I'm trying to think of what to say to break the silence within the vehicle, with the vehicle. Have I mentioned how nice your dashboard is? Let me just rub my hand across your dashboard, Chris. And actually, your dashboard's sun-warmed. I really like it. Is this a pleather or vinyl? Those are the same thing. Really, it's supple. Do you mind if I say that your dashboard is supple to the touch? Because it is. It really is. I can, because I'm supple. Can a supple be, is that a verb or an adverb or adjective or a noun? Okay. I think Chris just sighed, which is probably a good sign that you're warmed up. But what I was going to ask is, could it be a verb? Am I suppling? Can I supple something? If it's supple, what am I doing? Appreciating it. You're right, Chris, so much. I don't know. Am I, like, I just imagine that there's a verb out there somewhere unused. What about supplements? I know that's not a word, but Chris, if I could describe your dashboard and your whole thing, your whole je ne sais quoi. Yeah, you like that, huh? Yeah, you're succulent, not succulent. I just don't associate succulents with car. This particular car, though, it is feeling a little arid in here now that I've had the heat blasting, and we've reached peak temperature with my coat on and stuff. But I still got to go inside and you know, brush the old gums, as they say. Well, right now I'm flapping them. You're right, Chris. Totally caught me there. Believe it or not, Chris, I'm in the middle of a podcast. I think you knew that. So maybe not one day I'll launch another podcast for cars. I mean, once they have self-driving cars with AI, they'll need it. So, yeah, Chris, do you mind if I make a jest and say maybe I'm future-proof? Yeah, you're well, I didn't mean to mispronounce future, but I'm not Fuji-proof, because believe me, as soon as I hear that, I start dancing. When I hear the Fugees, you've played the Fugees before, Chris. Holy moly. Okay, so yeah, get back to, so, yeah, I'm here to keep you company. And you say maybe sometimes keeping a car's company is a business all on its own and doesn't pay, huh, Chris? It pays in the power of the heart. Holy cow, are you a poet? No wonder you're so supple. Supple to the touch. Here's a strange thing, Chris. I know I've done this before in other cars, but I don't think I've laid my lips on your dashboard. That was one of my favorite country hits. I think, I don't know, hey, that was a crossover. I think it was Lucinda Williams wrote that. My lips, laying my lips on your dashboard. And it was a true, it was a straightforward, it wasn't a metaphorical tune. And I used to talk about, like, when I would bite on dashboards, which people may not believe, but it is not bite into them. Well, gently nibble on a dashboard. That was when I submitted lyrics. I said, what about this for a chorus? Gently nibbled on the dashboard. They said, this is a fan club. Oh, I said, okay, well, lips on the dashboard. Okay, Chris. Chris has got it. Chris is fully warmed up now and ready to work. So I got to close this out. But if you're new, I'm here to help. I'm here to keep you company, take your mind off of stuff. Which my mind was taken off of reality there. Holy mackerel. But that's my question is, if you were along for the non-ride, the sitting in Chris, hopefully took your mind off whatever else could have been keeping you awake. And that's the idea for the show. Whether you're asleep or awake, I'm here to keep you company throughout the deep, dark night. I work very hard, and I yearn and I strive to keep you company and to help you fall asleep. But thank you so much for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, here we are on part two of this two-parter, The Age of Steel. I forgot to look up the age of Aquarius, but this is definitely not the age of Aquarius, because steel and water. What is the steel sign? Would an exoskeleton-based creature be steel sign? But it starts off with a recap, then some writing I can't read at all. I think it says Tom... Let's see. This is the recap. Maybe this is who wrote it. Let's see if I can pick that up during the opening. And then I put Doctor uses question mark because I wasn't sure if it was his sonic screwdriver, or I just, when I was taking notes, I forgot what the sonic screwdriver was called, just like just now I did. But the robot, the cyber persons are saying delete, delete, delete. And let's see, here's the opening. I'm watching it live here. We'll see who wrote this episode, if it was Tom McRae, or maybe it's directed by Tom McRae, and not the beloved Russell Davies, David Tennant, Billy Piper, Doctor Who, and here we go, coming in. Age of Steel by Tom McRae. So it was correct. I just spelled it wrong. And I couldn't read it, but the Doctor zaps all the Cybermen with a sonic screwdriver with but it was an orange superpowered thing. And then it's all honk, honk, honk. The van picks them up, everybody in. But Rose and the, what's the dad's name? The dad, Pete, they don't want to go. So the Doctor has to give them real talk. He says, actually, that's not the Rose you know to Rose. I mean, that's actually not the Jackie you know. And he says, you know, it's probably, you know, lost cause. And the woman driving the van, she says, this is the slowest getaway I've ever done. Finished chatting already. My mom is still in there hiding. Then they're in the van. I also put red light to see at night. The van is red. It's a revitalizing, let's see, it wasn't the sonic screwdriver, it was the Heart of the TARDIS. Is there a song, Heart of the TARDIS? Because if not, somebody come on, do it. I didn't even realize how well Heart of the TARDIS, like, see how that rolls out of my mouth? But Ricky says, what was that thing? Doctor says, a little technology from home. Mickey says, what it was glowing before, it has run out, and the Doctor says, no, it's in a revitalizing loop, it'll charge back up. And they say, what are we going to do? This is a boy band, guys, there too, Jake. And again, I don't know a lot of Doctor Who lore, but I would feel like this is like a kickoff episode for Jake and Mickey as a team, but I'm not exactly positive that happened. But they go back and forth. Pete starts getting blamed. They start the blame game. Miss M, they say, you know, you don't want the Doctor as an enemy. When's that come up? 20.5. Let me look through. They basically say, hey, Pete, you're like the worst. And Pete goes, you ever heard of Gemini? The mole? That's me. And they say, oh, wow, you're actually kind of the leader of our movement. Yeah, Pete says, encrypted wavelength is 657 using binary 9. I was like undercover with Lumic, and now I'm with Scooby-Doo and the gang. Even got the van. And Mickey says, we're the preachers, man. Mickey says, the preachers know what they're doing. Ricky's the toughest person in London. And they say, really? And then he goes, well, for parking tickets, I got a lot of parking tickets. I fight the power of parking. And then the Doctor says, I'm the Doctor, by the way. Anyone interested? And Rose says, I'm Rose. He goes, that's the name of my dog. Your catering staff. Rose goes, I knew you were a good guy. And they say, what is Lumic up to with these cyber people? Ear pods. Let's look at these ear pods. Doctor starts messing with the ear pods. Okay, that's that page. Let's see what else. Park anywhere. Oh, Doctor finds, he finds this super riveting or something interesting talking to Mickey. Also, did I say they have camouflage seats? That's what I wrote at WTF. Oh, this is when the Doctor identifies them as the cyber people. You get to the city, we got to form authorities, and Lumix talking to this robot. He keeps, oh, I said, why do they have two tears in their eyes? What does it say? Excellent. What does he, my dear children, let's take over. Oh, he said, he voices into the computer. Activate everything in the village of London, or the city of London. I don't know if that meant London proper, the city of London, or London general, you know what I mean? But yeah, they talk, he talks, he says, oh, my children. Crane, he tries to catch Crane with his ear pods, but Crane pulls him out. Then they see people are hypnotized by their cyber ears, or their Bluetooths. Here's a question I didn't find an answer to. I didn't look it up, though. Why are charging lights always blue? And, like, the information LEDs. I mean, I can see out of battery red, fully charged green. So everyone's always zoned out. Something about a brainstorm. Oh, you can't rip off their ear pods when they're in action because it'll cause a brainstorm. The doctor's annoyed at a human. So he says, you humans, you're always like this, you know, sleep in the universe. Let's see what I, you know, they tell you there's a callback to the Vane Stratton Museum and the first cyber person we saw with Rose. And let's see, satellites, chamber 12. Oh, then they start bringing people to a power station to process them into cyber beings. I don't know. The doctor gave him a big speech. I'm not trying to find it. He says, you humans, for such an intelligent lot, you aren't half susceptible. Give everyone a chance to control and you submit. Sometimes they think you like the easy life. There's lots of marching robots. They only march, though. Then they split up. They say, quick, split up. History, what is that? Quick, oh, we get a quick history of cyber people by Doctor Who. Then there's lots of marching. Ricky and Mickey go for a plan. Mickey kisses Rose goodbye. There's lots of running, like a few minutes of running. There's a side-by-side shot of Ricky and Mickey talking. Vitex signs the Cybermen are not self. Oh, Vitex signs. That's what Rose's Pete sells. But the cyber people are not stealthy. The doctor uses a sonic screwdriver one time when they're cornered to distract them in another direction. Jacking in trouble. What is that? Jocking in trouble. Ricky in trouble. Oh, Jackie's in trouble. She's in the get to become a cyber person. And then Ricky and Mickey get, they're going, but Ricky decides, he's climbing a fence. He says, you know what, let me go to the big farm in the sky. Mickey got over the fence, but Ricky did not, or maybe Mickey was on the other side saying, hurry up, man. He says, come on, Twinsy-poo, I want to have a twin, finally. And then the Cybermen say, no, let's go to the big farm with you. So he does, Cybermen stare at Mickey, which was strange because it was just a chain-link fence. Mr. Crane is a rebel and a liar, WTF. What does that mean? I think, that's what Lumix says. I mean, Lumix is a very relatable character, I'd say, to these current days. But yeah, Lumix says, what do you mean, man? I thought you were 100% loyal to me. Why didn't you become a cyber person? That's your job. Because cyber people say, this dude's not programmed. He wasn't using his ear pods. He says, oh, they broke. And Lumix says, are you a volunteer? He goes, oh, I'm on your team, but I'm on the human. I want to be on the human team. So then he messes with Lumix, Vader's type stuff, like his apparatus. And then Crane, he goes bye-bye. And then Lumic, the Cybermen say, you know what, Lumic, it's time for your upgrade, chew. And he actually needs it to full Vader. They say, we're going to give you the full Vader. You're only half Vader. We're going full Vader on you. Actually, beyond Vader to that other dude, he's thinking to a Grievous level, General Grievous. Let's see, talk to boss, Lumic equipment, we discovered that. They do a fist to their cyber, like that's their symbol. They put their fist to their cyber readout. Hundreds of time, he says, send everybody down the Thames. Somebody says that. Ricky comes running. Boy band Jake says, oh boy, it's my buddy. But Rose knows it's Mickey. Yeah, so boy band, Jake's not happy. He says, you're nothing, man. Yeah, and they say, we got to move on. We got to do it. Even Mickey says that. And then there's music to underscore that. And there's this ominous factory with a dirigible on the roof. Zeppelin, I put. Four smokestacks. It reminded me of a scene in the first season of Alice Isn't on the Big Farm. They have a schematic, or they talk about schematics. Look into my finance box, just check my schematics. They have it on the computer, though. Miss Moore's computer. And they say, okay, let's split up. Mickey and Jake, you take out the dirigible. Me and Miss Moore will go in through the cooling tunnels. Rose and Peter are like, we're going to try to go get Jackie. So that's how they say, go in on three sides, above, between, below. We'll get to the control center. We'll stop it all. Actually, that was originally just Jake. And Mickey goes, what about me? Am I still the tin dog? He goes, no, I'm going with Jake. And then they say, Jake says, I don't need you, man. I'm a one-man boy band. And Mickey goes, do you hear yourself? There's no such thing as a one-man boy band. He goes, that's a Bieber, you know, that's just a, and he goes, oh man, maybe we do need teamwork right now. Be the tin dog. I love how he says it. Genuine Mickey. I'm a friend to help. It's a really good moment, actually. And Mickey heads off with Jake. He looks back. This is because he has a parting ways with Rose. And he looks back and he kind of sees that Rose has moved on. Her and the doctor have a big hug and smile. Mickey's a little sad. Light ladder down, a dent for every ocean. I don't know what that means. Let's see if I have any notes here. Let's see. We see the cyber people processing. Proper torch. Moore says a device for every occasion because they don't have any lights for the ladder. Big smile. Cyber people of fee. There's a lot of resting cyber people. What else do they say? I think they had an interesting conversation. Torch on a headband. Doctor says, you got a hot dog in there? No. Of all things to wish for, mechanically recovered food. And doctor says, it's a Cyberman of food. And they say, okay, these ones are just resting. Let's not wake them up. Let's not trip anything. Big wonder spool. Oh, big wooden spool at some point. That's when Dad and the Rose are on the run. Don't show any emotion. Don't worry. They hold hands. Also, there was a dump truck. I think a doctor or what's the guy's name? Pete and Rose. They pass a dump truck and a big wooden spool. There's lots to talk about upgrades. Boy band gets to the top of the ladder. What do we got here? These two they take the ladder up to the roof. Two guards, Mickey says, I'll trick them. And Jake says, let's use this sleeping powder. Another one of Miss Moore's little tricks. And they say, let's go on board and see. Then the doctor says, how'd you meet the preachers? And Miss Moore says, well, originally I worked for Cybus Industries 9 to 5. And then I found something on the mainframe. You know how it goes. Didn't you see MATRIX or whatever? And I found the preachers. They need a tech person. And so I learned. doctor says, what about Mr. Moore? And she goes, no, I took that from a book, Mrs. Moore. It was Scooch's next door neighbor too. Safe for not to use real names. But I got to keep Mr. Moore and the kids okay. I'm out, you know, I'm changing the world here. And she goes, what about you? You got any family? Dad goes, no, whole world on my shoulders. But he says, what's your real name? She goes, Angela Price. And she says, don't tell anyone. The doctor actually says, okay, won't. But then a cyber person goes on, motion detected. I wonder what book she took her name from. I didn't have a chance to research that. Maybe I should know. Torch versus flashlight. That's just terminology. Wake up ladder. Out good team. 6,500 and rising. Rose has to wait for the Jackie bot. Deep Gold 6. These are all things that got said in the dialogue or that I wrote down that I might have heard. Rose has to wait. We see the Jackie bot. Okay, let's see where it was. I was trying to find the stuff with the Jackie bot. Let's see if I can find it here. Chamber 6, human upgrades. Oh, yeah, any sign of Jackie, Pete asks, and then someone says, a cyber person says, are you Pete Tyler? Confirm you're Pete Tyler. And Pete's pretending he's, like, hypnotized, so he says, confirmed. And she goes, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm Jackie. And Rose and Pete go, what? And then cyber person Jackie says, restrain, unprogrammed. And Pete goes, you can't be Jackie. And she goes, I once was, now I'm cyberform. And Rose goes, no way. And they go, yeah, yes. She goes, way, totally. Wayne and world, Wayne's World or whatever. And Pete goes, I'm here to help you. And she goes, didn't you work with Cybus Industries to help us? And they, she says, take them to cyber control. And Pete goes, maybe we could reverse this. I don't know. Rose goes, there's nothing we can do about this one. She's a bot now. And then they lose her in the great, but you know, all the collection of the bots. Which one is Jackie? Then Mickey and Jake are in the control room of the airship. They tap on one of the cyber people in there. And they say, upgrade this heart of steel. That's Pete's first hit or second hit from whatever the first hit I said is. Bardis on the TARDIS. Don't come and another one Pete wrote. One of my favorite ones is, don't come and knock and when this TARDIS is a rocking. And there's also then another one on the B side was, please come knocking when the TARDIS is rocking because we're just having a party. Also, there's rooms in the TARDIS, so even if the TARDIS is rocking, you know, there's still privacy within the TARDIS. But that song was, what was it called? Upgrade This Heart of Steel. Oh, that was a classic. I love that song so much. So much so that I've never upgraded my Heart of Stone, but, Custodial Inhibitor or something. What is it? Emotional Inhibitor. Yeah, I said, I've heard of that. You kidding me? People say, what are your hobbies and pastimes? I say, well, emotional inhibitor. That's the key. Someone says, I think either, you know, this is when Jake and Mickey are working. Tough call. She's out. A doctor and Miss Moore get surrounded. And Miss Moore goes to the big farm in the sky, but she first gives him a EM electromagnetic thing. Maybe the doctor's the one that introduces the thing about the heart of whatever. What is all this? They talk about. Oh, they talk to the cyber person who says I'm cold, because they broke the emotional inhibitor. That's why stops him from feeling anything. And working out solution, Mickey hacks the Zeppelin. Why weds Led Zeppelin? I put doctor has time. Rose and Pete, the doctor asks about Lumic, a.k.a. cyber controller, who says this is the age of steel. Let's see. Let me just run through this. So cold. They say, you're okay now, Sally. Go to sleep. That was Sally Phelan, one of the cyber people we met. Maybe we could do a cancellation code. And that would send all the cyber people to the big farm. Oh, so they figure it out. And that must be the binary vascular system. Oh, that's the doctor. Two hearts. They say, okay, I think I've lost my notes were really not good this week. Or maybe I maybe my cyber thing is going, but yeah, they go to cyber control. This is cyber thing. Boy band compliments Mickey on hacking the computer. Then the cyber person comes to life and Mickey tricks the cyber person who shuts down the transmitter. Then everybody's on the run. A tick tick happy sound. What does that mean? Mickey sees the doctor and Rose on a closed circuit camera. The doctor says, okay, I've been captured, but Rose and Peter are still out there. Oh, yeah, there's a good speech in here. Let's run through here. Okay, they get into the thing. I'm good with computers. We covered that. Where's the famous Mr. Lumic? Don't we get a chance to meet our Lord and Master? The doctor says, cyber people see. Lumic is a cyber controller, and then he comes out. Welcome to the Age of Steel. I'm the creator. Then Mickey shuts things down, and the people wake up that are not converted yet. The doctor says, good work, boys. Vote for free will. And Lumic goes, I got this going on every continent, just not just London. Mickey logs into cyber control. That's when they see Dr. and Rose. Lumic says, I'm going to bring peace to the world and uniformity. Dr. goes, what about imagination? You don't have imagination and pure logic. And Lumic goes, what's your name? He goes, I'm the doctor. He goes, we don't need doctors anymore. Our cyber people don't get colds. And Dr. goes, that's it. That's the point. You might be a genius. But I'm in the room, and everything you've invented is not, you know, so you don't get a cold. But he goes, that's so human, that you wanted to get rid of colds is what you strive for. And he goes, it's about striving and not stagnation. If you don't get a cold, you don't know how to get you get the benefits of bone broth. He goes, that's what keeps this planet alive, or striving for stuff like bone broth. And Lumic says, you're proud of emotions. The doctor says, you better believe it. The whole spectrum and rainbow, buddy. He goes, don't you want to be free from PA to the double I to the A to the N and spelling issues? And the doctor goes, nope. And the doctor goes, you don't control me, buddy. I get a bifurcal or whatever. And so you go back and forth. Meanwhile, the doctor's really just buying time, I think. Because then he says, all this would take is some ordinary person to find the right codes. Say the code behind the emotional inhibitor right in front of them. Whoever might know how to use a computer and firewalls, just like Pete said, binary 9, anybody could find that cancellation code, and they'd type it in, Mickey, to save his friends. Lumic says, talk is cheap or something. And Dr. goes, yeah, I talk too much. Rose knows that too. And somehow they, get the password to Mickey, and they text it to him. They say, okay, they're getting ready to upgrade everybody to delete them. And they text it to the doctor, and he plugs his phone into a docking station. You have no means of stopping me, most ordinary person, binary 9. Keep typing. Words are irrelevant. Yeah, it's 687-9760. Minds are blown. Mickey and Jake cheer. Cyberman gets a cyber headache. Yeah, it looks, if people start looking in the mirror, then their minds are really blown. And some of them head to the big farm. Then we see an exit sign, boy band, track to run. Mickey steers in back. Oh, so they're flying the airship. Boy band wants to run, but Mickey's like, we got to steer the airship and pick everybody up. He calls Rose. There's some hero music. Then there's some action music. Then there's Lumic not being happy. Butt up out of the morning or something. Hold on, I'm coming. And they drop a ladder. Let me see what else I'm missing here. Spinning the Zeppelin wheel, Jake is. Head for the roof. They head up. They say, where'd you learn to fly that thing? Mickey says, you know, games, man. Then they throw the ladder out. Rose goes up. Then Pete and the doctor. Mickey spinning the wheel around, pushing levers, like he's on a TARDIS a little bit. Lumic has LED eyes on the ladder. Doctor gives Pete a sonic screwdriver because, you know, he's following Pete up the ladder. Jackie Tyler, this is for her, he says. And then there's a slow-mo Lumic fail all the way down. They fly off a quiet, dark TARDIS. The doctor says, one little spark, we're back online. Then Pete and Rose, they have a quiet moment together. Because, you know, about the two different worlds. Pete goes, I got to get after those Lumic. I got to shut down Lumic worldwide. Tell the authorities. Doctor goes, Rose, we got to roll. And he goes, she goes, thanks. And she goes, by the way, you're my dad. And he goes, oh, don't tell me that. I got to go. Mickey has the doctor's suit. It's a tough goodbye. Doctor touches the back of his head. Oh, that was Pete's head, I think. Doctor tells Rose to find, Miss Moore's husband. But he doesn't tell Rose that. What does he say? My suit, Angela Price, he tells Jake to do that, boy band. Find her family. Tell him that she's a hero. And the doctor goes, off we go then. And Mickey says, the thing is, I'm staying. And his voice cracks. He goes, it balances out. He goes, I'll be Ricky here. He goes, there's work to do with these cyber people. Rose goes, you can't stay. And Mickey goes, yeah, my gran is here. So, and Rose goes, what about me? What if I need you? And Mickey finally says, you know, Rose, you got the doctor. Isn't that, you and him. He goes, we used to have something, but not anymore. And she goes, we'll be back. Right. And the doctor's actually, we can't come back here. This is it, Mickey. And Mickey goes, yeah. Then they even have It's Over music. Can't ever return. Doctor Mickey shakes his hand. Half step over those frictures. Good luck, Mickey. He said, he gives Mickey his old name, you know. Says, oh, take Rose's phone. That's got all the secret codes in it. Half strip those fake. He pats his cheek. And Mickey says, watch it. Mickey says, we had a good time, Rose. Who would have thought you and me, not even back in, you know, in the old estate, flying through the stars. Because we used to imagine stuff like this. Never saw this one coming. Mickey goes, don't miss your flight. Mickey faces Rose, who's a bit stunned. Hug tears music. Then Rose gets on, and Mickey says, Jake, you got to watch this. And Jake goes, what? And he goes, that's the doctor in the TARDIS with Rose Tyler. He's really very proud. Then we see our world Jackie filling her Brita. She hears the TARDIS which appears in her living room. And they say, Mom, so good to see you. She goes, what's wrong? Where were you? They go, far away. She goes, where's Mickey? The doctor says, he's home. And then Brita, big sad hug. Doctor's arms are crossed. And then we have Mickey and boy band Jake in a van. And he's, Mickey says, look, even though I'm like Ricky, I'm different. I'm not replacing him. But he goes, I'm here for his mission, stopping the cyber factories. He goes, what do you think about Paris, Jake? And Jake says, you know, he sings the song, yeah, let's liberate Paris. And he goes, what, you and me in a van? That's what Jake says. Mickey goes, I saved the universe with a big yellow truck once upon a time. And with that, the episode comes to a close. Now, let's run through a couple of things that came up. Night vision was one thing, which was like, it was thinking about red light and night vision. Using red light for night vision is less effective for people with red color. Well, let's see, here it is. Blue, green, biological night vision. You know, there's different ways of illuminating night vision. Where's the thing? I thought, I could have sworn there was something about why you use red light. Oh, here it is. Photoreceptors, biological night vision. Photoreceptors in the cells in vertebrate eye have photoreceptor protein, which is a combination of protein. This is from Wikipedia. Photospin in color vision cells and rotospin or rhodopsin. A bunch of different molecules. Retinal must diffuse with the vision cell out of the eye, circulate it to the blood, to the liver, where it's regenerated. In bright light conditions, most of the retinal is not in the photoreceptors, but outside the eye. It takes about 45 minutes of dark for all of the photoreceptor proteins to be recharged with active retinal. But most of night vision adaptation occurs within the first 5 minutes. Adaptation results in maximum sensitivity to light. In dark conditions, only the rod cells have enough sensitivity to respond in trigger vision. Rhodopsin. Why is that so hard? In the human rods is insensitive to longer red wavelengths. So traditionally, many people use red light to help preserve night vision. Red light only slowly depletes the rhodopsin stores in the rods, and instead is viewed by the red-sensitive cone cells. So that's a little bit. What about a Project Gemini? There's a lot of Gemini, so I looked up a few things about Gemini in here. One is Project Gemini, and this is all, that was NASA's second spaceflight program. Yeah, between Mercury and Apollo, it started in 61, ended in 66. Gemini spacecraft carried a 2-astronaut crew. 10 Gemini crews flew low Earth orbit missions. And the objective was the development of space travel techniques to support the Apollo mission to land astronauts on the moon. It performed missions long enough for a trip to the moon and back. And perfected working outside the spacecraft with EVA, extravehicular activity, pioneering orbital maneuvers, space rendezvous, and docking. They were all based on Cape Kennedy Air Force Station in Florida, and they were launched from Gemini Titan II. And they were the first program to use the Mission Control Center in Houston. So that's a little bit about Gemini. What about an astrology Gemini, a.k.a. the twins? Looks like I pressed the wrong button. It's the third astrological sign in the zodiac, originating. So the zodiac is from the constellation. The sun transits the sky, the sign, between May 21st and June 21st, and it's represented by the twins Castor and Pollux. You know, there's a big farm-related stuff. So that's a Gemini of astrology. What about, the constellation? I guess I meant to look up the zodiac. This is about the constellation. It's one of the constellations of the zodiac. One of 48 constellations described by Ptolemy. And one of 88 modern constellations today. It's Latin for twins. And its symbol is almost like the Roman numeral 2, a little bit different. It lies between Taurus to the west and Cancer to the east, with Auriga and Lynx to the north and Monoceros and Canis Minor to the south. And as we said, the sun is from June 20th to July 20th of the year, even though the zodiac dates are May to June. By mid-August, Gemini will appear along the eastern horizon in the morning sky prior to sunrise. They don't say where on Earth, the best time to observe Gemini is at night and is overhead during the months of January and February. So get on your Gemini looking. By April and May, it'll be visible soon after sunset in the west. The easiest way to locate it is to find Castor and Pollux eastward from the familiar V-shaped Asterium of Taurus in the three stars under Orion's belt. Okay, so this is a little bit about it. Pretty cool. What about the song Side by Side? That came up, I think, just because I saw Mickey and Ricky Side by Side. And the song is best known in a 1953 recording by K-Star. But it's a popular song by Harry M. Woods, written in 1927, considered a standard. There's a bunch of different recorded versions. It was used in TV shows. It was used in a Judy Blume novel, Richie Rich movie, Rocky and Bullwinkle, Kit Kittredge, American Girl. Florence and Harry sang it in Jefferson's episode. Lauren Ambrose sang it in Burt Biggs's. Also, if you're in New York, go see Mike Birbiglia's Broadway show. But it was in Sleepwalk with me. So maybe that's why. But let's see. Lyrics of this song. Let's check the lyrics. We ain't got a barrel of money. Maybe we're ragged and funny. But if you travel along singing a song side by side. Oh, we don't know what's coming tomorrow. Maybe it's trouble and sorrow. But we'll travel the road sharing our load side by side. Through all kinds of weather. What if the sky should fall? Just as long as we're together, it doesn't matter at all. Well, and when they've had their quarrels and parted, we'll be just something started. Just travel along singing our song side by side. I would have liked Mickey and Ricky to sing this to each other. My sentiment is exactly, I know what you're saying, something exactly side by side. Side by side, here's one that chimneys came up, and I said, well, how tall are chimneys? Like, what are the tallest chimneys in the world? And then I said, chimney tree. And really, here's the timeline of the world's tallest chimneys. The chimney of Nortlot's glass bottle company in Dublin, Ireland, was the tallest in 1820 to 1835. It was 30 meters, 95 feet. Then in from 1836, it was Adams Soapworks chimney in Birmingham, England, 97 meters. Then Tennant's Stock in Glasgow, 132 meters. Port Dundas Townsend chimney in Glasgow, 132. Oh, that one, Tennant's Stock went bye-bye, that's why. That one's like 0.2 meters smaller. Let's see. Then a couple in Germany, 134, 140. Then Great Falls, Montana's Big Stack, 154. Then the Hitachi Smelter and Refinery, 155. These are meters, by the way. That was in Japan. Then another smelter in Japan, 167. Then a smelter in Ruston, Washington, 174. Most of these are gone, which is, you know, great. I mean, I am a chimney fan. I prefer retired chimney. You say retire the chimney, but keep it up there. Then a smelter in Montana, which was the tallest chimney built of bricks, 178 meters of bricks. Holy mackerel. Selby, California, 184. It keeps going. Let's look at the current ones. At the top one, get ready, buckle your seatbelt. The tallest chimney in the world is in Kazakhstan, 419 meters. Then Sudbury, Ontario, 380 meters. That's the tallest chimney in the Western Hemisphere. Then Homer City, Pennsylvania, 371 meters. That's the tallest chimney in the U.S. Kennecott Smokestack is 370 meters. That's the tallest chimney west of the Mississippi. There's a tallest chimney in Russia, 370 meters. Tallest chimney before the, I don't know, there's other ones. Just to like give you, so the tallest chimney is 419 meters. And then there's a lot of chimneys that's in the 300-meter range. So the tallest structures, just to give you a thing. So what did I say, 400 meters? The tallest structures in the world, you've got the tallest building in the world is 829 meters. But then after that is a self-supporting tower in Tokyo. That's 634. Then a TV mast in North Dakota, 328. Then a transmitter in Hawaii, 458. The Tronis Towers in 452. And then we have our chimney at 419. So chimney's in the top 10. And I think there's like, then a lot of chimneys because most, hold on a second. This thing drops down pretty fast to 200. There's, so it like, I don't know. We Only Sleep With Me podcast would have an international chimney tour. So there's a lot of other stuff I'll link to, but this last thing, I think this is a really good article on in the Atlantic, the big farm dream of the dirigible. And it's from 2012. It's written by Megan Garber. And it's easy to forget now, but the airship was once the flying machine of the future. And, you know, we've seen a lot of steampunk and stuff. And maybe I've linked to this article before. It shows the USS Los Angeles moored to the Empire State Building. And, you know, talking about the increase in height of the planned edifice from 1,000 feet to 1,250 so there could be a mast for dirigibles, which would fly passengers directly to Midtown Manhattan. Well, people, you know, got off airships, you know, how they were lighter than air. And the first vehicles to enable controlled and human and powered human flight, people thought they were the way of the future. Let's see. But not long after 1929, dirigibles and their fellow aerostats would fall out of favor as a preferred technology for passenger flight, relegated to sports advertising and and filming. As we know, blimps today, their decline was, you know, because of some things that happened. But the nicheification of the airship was mostly due to the fact that the gaseous materials that allowed dirigibles their effortlessness of flight were less effective than good old fossil fuels. And that's why flight kind of won out. So there's a nice long form article about that with some great pictures and posters and things. I'm also going to link to an article about from Cinefex.com in the show notes about using two actors in the one actor playing twins in the same shot. And a run through that from history. I thought that was really interesting. How Stuff Works article about motion detection. And then the 10 wildest like fact checking wild Led Zeppelin facts. And then I'll close out with the lyrics to One Little Spark, which is this, I'm reading this from the Disney Wikia. It's a theme song to Journey into the Imagination at Epcot. It was written by the Sherman Brothers and is still used. It used to be sung by the Dreamfinder and Figment. Now I think just Figment sings it, or maybe Eric Idle too, but it goes, One Little Spark of Inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you, two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horn of a steer, but a lovable fellow. From head to tail, he's a royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment. We have sparks, imaginations. That's how our minds create creations. From there, they make our wildest dreams come true, those magic sparks in me and you. Imagination, imagination. A dream can be a dream come true with just that spark in me and you. Good night, everybody. I want to thank everybody who reviewed the show over on Apple Podcasts. Rachel says, best sleep podcast. Listen to countless episodes every night. Just cracks me up and they go to sleep so quickly in a good mood. Thank you. Brianna says, anxious and sleepless. I can't stop my brain long enough to get an hour of sleep. Stumbling on this podcast has changed my life. Now instead of fighting my brain to get some rest, I can be distracted by Scooch's rambling. His voice is like that of a boring high school teacher. Amazingly, how he tiptoes a line between just interesting enough to keep your mind busy and boring enough to tune out. Just enough to keep me distracted, not enough to keep me awake. The amount of work and love he puts in this podcast is astounding. Thanks for helping people like me. Oh, yeah, like us, Brianna. Montana Todd says, best day ever. Is considering giving this podcast, if you're considering giving the podcast a listen, just do it. I've been listening for several weeks, and I don't think I've made it through an episode without falling asleep. Incredibly billing ability to lovingly bore me to sleep. Caden's content are artfully combined. Vast library episodes, let me play it for hours on end. Thanks, Scooter. Thanks, Todd. They took my screen name, says patron say to sleepiness. Like just about everyone else, I was skeptical. Now I can't sleep without it. Partner's grateful too, because I don't keep him up trying to put me to sleep anymore. Definitely worth becoming a patron. Thanks for this labor of love. Thanks, screen name. Mamal 4242 says, just no. Worst voice and delivery. V-Pixie says, from the UK, says, give a few tries. I spent a week in a big old house, a lot of noise. I couldn't sleep till I remember this podcast. Took a while. I tried it for a while and found it didn't help the first few times, but now I found it helps me drift right off and stop listening for noises in the night. Thanks, Scooter. Kai Spear says, I need to fall asleep. You found it. Honorably and kindly bores me right to sleep. Babybug22 says, way better than counting sheep. I've always had a hard time falling asleep. When my husband works night shifts, I've regularly started listening to the show every night. I'm asleep within 10 minutes to 15 minutes. Grateful for the podcast. Liza says, it used to take me 45 minutes to fall asleep. Now 15 minutes with the podcast. Sometimes I'll play it all night long, and Scooter's there to lull me back to sleep. He really does create a safe place. Royota says, just what I need, and never listen to this podcast for more than 5 minutes. Puts me right to sleep. Bless you, Scooter. Aurora's Bed says, I had a hard time falling asleep. The host is a hoot. I love him and his ramblings. Nostalgia says, oh no, we read that one. Okay, that's all of them. Thank you so much, everybody, for reviewing the show. Looks like you can do that on Stitcher. I don't know how to get those reviews, but on Cast Plus, people, or Castbox, something like that, and on Apple Podcasts on your phone or iTunes on your desktop. Also, if you're bored, you can rate the reviews relevance. And thank you so much for doing that. I really appreciate it. Sleep with Me is listener supported. So the podcast exists, is coming to your ears for free because of listeners who support the show on Patreon and who directly support the sponsors and share about it on social media. So I want to say thank you to those people that really do keep the show going and free for everyone else, or that really helped me do that. And we're a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You can check out all the amazing shows over at nightvalepresents.com. We're also a member of PRX. And you can check out everything they're doing at prx.org. And here you go. I got a lot more episodes ready to go for if you need it. I tuck you in there. This next one's a really good one. Oh, boy. You're in for a treat. Yeah, get cozy. Let me tuck that there. Okay, pulled that. Okay, you got it. Good night. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress that matched me with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix Sleep Quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15-year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.